Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to the Shabra Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Our guest for today was displaced by Hurricane Milton, so we had to reschedule her interview, and instead we have my absolutely most favorite person in the world, my dear husband and dearest friend, none other than Neil Shabra. Neil is always the ace up my sleeve, and we have been waiting for the opportunity to have him back on our show talking about his shamanic work. Hi, Neil. Thank you for coming on the show, especially at such short notice.
Hi, Vivian. Thanks for this wonderful opportunity. I'm always happy to be interviewed by you because you're so great at interviewing and also very happy to talk about shamanism, even though it's at the last moment. So thank you.
Yeah, because we're always prepared to talk about such topics, aren't we? We've had lots of experience around them, and we love to share, don't we?
We do. Absolutely, we do.
Okay, so Neil, I thought I wonder if you could begin by telling us why you chose shamanism as a career track, and where did you train? Those two questions.
Okay, well, that's an excellent starting question. So I think, broadly speaking, I would say that I always felt and hoped that there was something more to existence or to reality than my experience when I was a young person. I felt there had to be something, call it deeper or richer or more significant. And of course, my exposure to that side of life would have been initially through religion, through organized religion. And I desperately wanted to find, I didn't have the words for it then, but I definitely wanted to connect with sacredness and find meaning and significance in sacredness as, you know, probably before I was even a teenager. And I, for whatever reason, I didn't really get that feeling or that experience in my early exposure to organized religion. The best that I did experience, and it was lovely, was when they were singing, when the choir sang, and these beautiful, plaintive, heart-rendering melodies that really touched me and made me feel vaguely, because I didn't really have the words for it, that there was something, there was some higher, more significant aspect of reality that I could connect with. And after that, probably still as a young teenager, I used to be an avid reader, and somewhere in my readings, I came across reports of altered states of consciousness, whether it be through meditation or through fasting or through taking substances, and that really interested me because that gave a hint of that there were ways of literally experiencing something out of the ordinary, that there was more. And that led me to writers in, I guess you could say, in the shamanic world, people like Carlos Castaneda, Aldous Huxley, and many others. As I say, I devoured everything I could read. But it was very frustrating, but for many of them, especially as I was interested in people who'd had shamanic experiences, they were very fortunate and able to become apprenticed to shamans or to spiritual teachers. And sitting there in those days, that was in South Africa, I thought, well, you know, that's wonderful, but it sounds like an impossibility. And firstly, little did I know that in South Africa at the time, there was and is a very rich shamanic spiritual tradition, but that wasn't accessible to me there. And then when I came here, I found, and I think it was actually maybe through news of them, that there were actually ways of training in shamanism. And we both went up to an initial workshop with Michael Harner, who is my beloved shamanic teacher, who sadly passed on a few years ago. And we did that initial workshop together. And it was such a powerful experience that I wanted to continue it, that I felt this is absolutely the path or the direction that I wanted to take, which would lead me into the experience of spiritual significance, spiritual meaningfulness.
Yeah, that's right, because we went up to the Omega Institute to do that training, and I actually had to go to an Alexander conference just before it, and I met you and the boys up at Omega, and it was on the way there that I had one of my airport experiences. I've had so many weird airport experiences. I've encountered these spiritual experiences, but it was when that shaman sat down next to me, and he was also a pilot, and that was just a weird experience. I don't want us to get sidetracked into it. And that's when we went to the gateway training that weekend. And then after that, we decided that you would investigate shamanism and I would investigate crystals and crystal healing. That's what happened, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what happened. And it was very, very, very fortunate that my first practical exposure to, call it the territory, was with Michael Harner. Because of all the people in the world, never mind in the USA, I was so fortunate to have somebody of such knowledge, experience, integrity, and an incredible sense of humor, a most phenomenal sense of humor. So I was so fortunate. I was guided, I was led to start, call it, at the top. At least for me, that was top of the pops for where I could begin. And after doing that initial weekend and being so inspired, I then did a whole series of trainings all through the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, which is what Michael Harner started. And my next training was in what's called shamanic counseling with Michael Harner's wife, Sandra. And that was absolutely spectacular. And then I continued doing various workshops in shamanic healing and culminating in doing what's called the 3-year intensive training. And that was, again, with Michael Harner and Sandra Ingemann. I was wonderfully fortunate to have her as a teacher, and a couple, Nan Moss and Dave Corbin, who also sadly passed away a few years ago. So my exposure to shamanic training was, you know, right at the pinnacle of expertise in terms of knowledge and skill in actually teaching.
And these people are an amazing bridge between pre-literate shamanic cultures and our modern-day way of living. And they just formed this amazing bridge, which is kind of, it sounds amazing. I don't think we should go into that, because what I really want to ask you is, you know, it's not that hard to learn how to do a shamanic journey for oneself, right? It's fairly straightforward.
No, it's the easiest thing in the world if one...
I know. So what are you learning in those trainings? What is so complex that you have to do, you know, 3 years plus several other addenda as well? What is so complex?
Yes, well, I would say I wouldn't even necessarily use the word complex. Well, that maybe comes into it along the line, but it's the deepening of one's connection and one's ability to communicate with and certainly and trust and develop an ease of access in connecting with the spirit world.
So you're building a bond, like in any friendship.
Exactly, and a friendship or a mentoring is maybe another word one could use, where, you know, that's not an overnight thing. You might meet somebody and feel really connected with them and like them, but it probably will take years of deepening that interaction and the intimacy. And so that's one aspect of why a real immersion in shamanic training has to take time. And then there certainly are a range of very specific shamanic practices, healing practices, and rituals. There's a lot of ritual as well. And Michael Horner described the three-year training as, and I thought this was wonderful, as a series of initiations.
Oh. So is it like becoming a musician or learning a language or something like that, where, you know, it's like with learning a language, for me, that's something I can do. And you start with, like, just phrases that you can ask just so you can get around, but then you go deeper and deeper and deeper until you can even translate poetry or something. Is it like that, or like becoming a musician?
Yeah, no, I think that's, you know, as analogies go, because we're in the territory of analogy, that's excellent to say it is like a language, and in the beginning you can mumble through a few words and understand things very basically, and that's still useful. It's not
exactly
that there's no use in that, but then you become absolutely fluent, and
yeah,
you can converse.
And you get nuance.
And it becomes, you know, what was not, in a sense, a native language, you are so experienced in it that it becomes like a second native language. Or another, I think, a very good analogy is learning to play a musical instrument. You know, you can be at a basic level where there's still a great deal of enjoyment, and then you go deeper and deeper and your skill develops.
That's fantastic. And how do you journey? What is that? What's that process? Can you describe it for us?
Sure. Because this is the main, you know, just to say that the shamanic journey is the essential method or the essential technique of connecting with the spirit realm, the spirit world. And although one might be able to have some connection with the spirit realm just in one's ordinary, everyday consciousness, it's much more effective and reliable if one can go into this altered state of consciousness, or, as Michael Horner would describe it, non-ordinary consciousness, experiencing non-ordinary reality. And in that, it's sometimes spoken of as a trance-like state, because it's induced or assisted, empowered, by listening to a rhythmic stimulus. So it could be a constant drum beat, it could be a constant rattle beat, depending on where shamanism is developed all over the world, they've used different sonic stimuli. But essentially, one lies down, relaxes, has this background of a rhythmic drum beat, and then using these very ordinary guidelines, very easily to understand guidelines, one shifts one's consciousness to where one is more open to connect with the spirit realm.
Wow, yeah. You know, when you're talking about it, I remember that gateway training and how we close my eyes, and then Michael Horner would start to drum and I could hear voices singing. So then I'd open my eyes to see, where is this choir? Like, where are these voices that are singing? And it was almost maddening, except it was so celestial and so magnificent that, and so uplifting. But I was a little bit frustrated, because if I opened my eyes, then there was nothing there. And when I closed my eyes and listened to the drum, I'd hear this choir singing. And it was an angelic choir. It was unbelievable. I'll never forget it. So many elements of that experience that we had at Omega Institute just are coming back alive for me as you're talking. And I realize how embedded they are in my being. I mean, it was one weekend of shamanism, and I think it changed my life. I know that was the breakthrough for me for allowing myself to be intuitive, when I realized, no, I can choose when I am being influenced, as it were, or when I'm entering, because I didn't want to just be bombarded. And that thing of actually having the drum be my choice and listening to the drum and crossing over in that way, that was what allowed me to go forward. And it wasn't even a shamanism, but for you, it was shamanism.
Yes. I think you and I took to it with such ease that it was wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, it was a very, very, very powerful weekend. So what else happened from the journey? I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, sorry, say it again.
What else happens? I mean, can you explain about the lower world, the upper world?
Yeah, absolutely. So you could say that there is a map of the spiritual realm. This is just for the convenience of being able to describe it, that we use these concepts, but that one can literally, on the journey, when you're lying there and the drums are going in the background, imagine yourself or visualize yourself traveling downwards, for example, because one spiritual realm or one part of the shamanic map is the lower world, what's called the lower world. And to get there, you imagine yourself going downwards. So, for example, you could be walking in the woods and you imagine there's a tree that's fallen over and there's a big hole in the ground, and you climb into that hole following the roots of the tree going down and down and down and down, and eventually you emerge into a new landscape, which would be called the lower world because you went down to get there. And the lower world is characterized by this incredible thing that the spirits, these are all benevolent, loving, compassionate spirits, nothing to be scared of, they show themselves in an animal form. And they refer to as spirit helpers. The spirit helpers in animal form when one travels to the lower world. And then the other side of the shamanic experience is traveling upwards to the upper world. So there you might climb a tree, for example, and you go up and up and up and up, way beyond any tree that you've ever actually climbed, and eventually emerge into this new landscape called the upper world. And there, the wonderful thing is the spirits that you meet there and form a relationship with there, they manifest in a human-like form. And they're called spirit teachers. So you have spirit helpers in animal form in the lower world, and you have spirit teachers in human form in the upper world. That's all a generalization, but that's the rough map.
That's the main thing. And so then those spirit helpers in animal form are those power animals. Is that what we call power animals?
Usually. So where you have not just met a spirit, because you could just simply meet and greet, as it were, but where you have met and formed a strong bond, an intimate, strong bond of connection with a spirit in animal form, and you can regularly call on them to bring their compassion and bring their help, and you do that, then you can call them a power animal because they have a
so
special
it's a personalized relationship.
Exactly.
Okay. And what's the difference, Neil, between a spirit guide and a spirit helper?
So in my general terminology, I use the terminology spirit helper or spirit teacher, and I don't really use the term spirit guide, because one goes from ordinary reality, one goes either up or down to reach and meet and interact with the spirits, which I would call the spirit helpers or the spirit teachers. Although, having said that, one certainly can also call the spirits in, and a lot of the very, very practical help that the spirits can give us is where we're in ordinary reality, like maybe in the airport situation that you mentioned, and we beseech the spirits to come in and help us with a particular issue.
We just did that, didn't we, when we couldn't get on the plane from Cincinnati to Newark to go to the Azores, and there wasn't a seat for us. And I said, Neil, ask the spirits to help. And then you did in the airport,
it was
right?
Perfect. It was such a perfect example of getting help from the spirit realm. Absolutely. It looked as if we were absolutely not going to be able to fly to Newark, where we had this then international flight. There were no later flights we could take. The flights the next day had all been cancelled. It was our one and only chance, and the flight was overbooked. People weren't responding to the offers of giving them $500 or $1,000 if they switched seats. And I just beseech the spirits to help us, and beseeching is the word. I beseech them, I call them in by name, my identity, and lo and behold, the two of us got on that flight.
At the very last minute. Yeah, it was a very useful, a real-life situation, and not the only time that we've
absolutely
been helped by
not
spirits in the airport. But anyway, yes, you know, we're going to have to take a commercial break, so we'll talk about the different kinds of shamanic healing and especially soul retrieval afterwards. And in the meantime, let's just tell them how to get hold of you. That's crystalhealingtechniques.com, isn't it? The contact
yes
form there.
Yes, that's the best way to get hold of me. Use that contact form on crystalhealingtechniques.com, and I will absolutely respond. That. And on the website, there's a lot of shamanic information, a lot of blogs to do with shamanism as well.
That's right, including these shows and what we present here. So
yes,
that's fantastic. Thanks, Neil. We're going to talk to you some more. And everyone, we are talking to none other than Neil Shapra about shamanism. And after the break, we're going to ask Neil to explain more to us about the forms of shamanic healing, especially soul retrieval. So please come back and join us.
Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chopra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud, shaping the future. This all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. ShareTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, ShareTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the ShareTrader banner.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chopras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chopras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now. There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years, and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit fourwindsacademy.org. That's the number 4windsacademy.org. Or call 513-891-8062.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Hello and welcome back to the Shabra Show, where Viv and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Today we are talking to Neil about shamanism. That's Neil Shabra, our usual spirit reporter. And we are about to hear more from him about soul retrieval and other forms of shamanic healing. And so let's get to it. Neil, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, tell us, what are the different kinds of shamanic healing that people can get?
So, one could say, well, what's the point of shamanism? What's the value of shamanism? And A, it's to do with one's own spiritual evolution. So the more one connects with the spirit world, the more one evolves in one's own spiritual path or journey. And so you asked earlier why shamanism, studying shamanism, becoming trained as a shaman, can take so long. It's because it takes time to form these deep connections with the spirits.
It is not a simple thing. It's like training to be a minister. It's a big deal.
Yeah, no, that's a very good analogy as well. Exactly. You have to have experience, and experience can't occur without time.
That's right.
And then, in addition to that aspect, the deepening of connection with one's spirit team, you could say, there are quite a number of very specific shamanic healing practices, healing methods, and those also take time to practice them over and over and over, because it's a big responsibility. Somebody is coming to you, they're bringing their hopes, they're bringing their dreams, they are paying you, and you have to deliver. And in shamanic cultures, that was always the whole reason why anybody remained a shaman within, say, a tribal context, is that they could actually deliver. They were practically helping the tribe. And if they didn't, a new shaman was found. But so there's a range of shamanic healing practices. So I mentioned earlier is what you could say is shamanic counseling, where on behalf of somebody, I would do a shamanic journey to get useful information. Maybe they have a question or a dilemma, or I could go with a request for healing or a request for some other aspect to help them solve a difficult situation in their life. So there's shamanic counseling. And that takes a lot of experience to do that.
Because you have to be able to get words, and you know, you can't just have an experience. You have to communicate with the client, and you need words for that. And it's hard to take there can't be vagueness, right? There has to be specific, focused information.
Yeah, and one has to be able to take what might present in a very symbolic way or poetical way and make practical sense of it, that the client, the person one is journeying for, you know, doesn't walk out feeling bewildered by the experience, you know, by what you've told them. That's
not
good.
Yeah. Bewildered, good word. Good word.
Then there is, no specific order necessarily, there is a wonderful shamanic healing practice called power animal retrieval. So a key concept in shamanism is that one needs to be ideally power-filled. And it's the kind of healthy power that comes, it's a side benefit of having an ongoing and maintained good relationship with the spirit realm. And where, for whatever reason, one has lost touch with one's spiritual connections, the aspect that goes along with that is a loss of, call it, power. And when one loses power, one is much less effective in one's life and could even be more liable to have illnesses or injuries or other misfortunes in one's life. So a power animal retrieval is where, on behalf of somebody, I would journey to the lower world and ask to be shown a lost power animal that is willing to return to that person on that day. And I would be hopefully shown this spirit in animal form. I would invite them to come back with me, and then using a specific technique, I would transfer that power animal spirit back into the person. And so they would have recovered a really important spirit connection. Now it would be up to them after that to nurture what has been returned. It's not something that is going to be there forever without an ongoing nurturing of that spirit.
Yes.
So that's
up to them. There's so many healing modalities. It's also up to the person. They've got to meet you halfway. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I love doing that. It's a really enjoyable experience. Then there is another very, very powerful shamanic healing practice called extraction healing. And the essence of that is I go again into the shamanic trance and I call on my spirits, my spirit helpers, my spirit teachers to remove, and the best description is what doesn't belong. So, and I get shown what doesn't belong in ways that for me are recognizable, but certainly are not necessarily literally in the person. So I could be shown, just for example, pieces of glass in the person's, call it energy field. I could be shown barbed wire. I could be shown something that looks like a strange insect or an animal.
And so symbols and icons and things.
Yeah.
For you to understand.
It's obvious to me, to my consciousness, that those should not be there. Those don't belong. And after all, I've asked in the first place to be shown what doesn't belong. And then the amazing thing is the spirits, and more than one, using my hands or my teeth or my arms or my tools that I hold will take out or remove or suction out or lift out those things that don't belong. So it's a very, very, very powerful and intense experience.
Okay, so what we didn't get to, and what I really do want to talk to you about, is soul retrieval. Yes. But let's keep that for another day and really go into that, where lost soul parts can be retrieved, because that's a big thing that you do for people, isn't it?
It's a huge thing, and it's transformational. The effect of the soul retrieval is to return one to wholeness. So, yes, I would love to speak about that.
Okay, let's keep that for another interview, and we can go into it in some depth. And in the meantime, I think what we should do is just tell people again how they can get hold of you if they want to.
Okay, so the best way is our website, crystalhealingtechniques.com. That's one word, Crystal Healing Techniques. There's a contact form, and write your questions, write your comments, and I would get back to you as soon as possible.
Perfect. So thank you so much. We've been talking to none other than Neil Shabara, our resident shaman, and we've been talking to him about shamanism, and we only got halfway through what all we have to share. But after the break, Neil is going to come back and give his spirit report, and we will do the rest of this interview on soul retrieval another time. And please join us after the break.
CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chakras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chakras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years, and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit 4windsacademy.org. That's the number 4windsacademy.org. Or call 513-891-8062. Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chakras.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hi there. Welcome back. You're listening to The Chakra Show, and I'm Neil, very pleased to be sharing with you my shamanic journeys to the spirit realm and reporting back on the guidance I receive directly from the spirits. So the purpose of this journey is to travel to the upper world and request the spirits give me guidance around the topic of connecting with one's ancestors. I go up and up and up, and I see these pink marble-like steps that I've often seen in the past, and they're sort of an entryway to the upper world. They're wide, spacious, quite grand, actually, which befits something like going into the upper world. I soon see a wooded area and a circle in the woods, and I know to call in my spirit teachers of the upper world. And when I do that, I go through their names or their identities, the way I understand I can refer to them. So I call them in, and the first thing that they say is that they're very pleased that I've come with this particular request about connecting with ancestral spirits because it is so valuable. And they say that there are, of course, countless ancestral spirits. They're the immediate ones that one might have actually met or heard of, which, you know, could be parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. But then there are on the maternal line, the ancestors going back thousands of generations, and on the paternal line, similarly, ancestors going back thousands and thousands of generations. And they say that's the value. These ancestral spirits are a resource to connect with, where one can get insight and guidance. And this goes back as far as to whatever the first version of a human being was. There's a huge collective wisdom, a huge amount of experience that the spirits can draw on to give us guidance. And they remind me of this very important thing that my own teacher, Michael Harness, said. And he said that when one goes to connect with ancestral spirits, one has to specify benevolent spirits. And the reason for this is that not all spirits are that interested in actually connecting with us, these ancestral spirits. There's so many of them, and some of them are absolutely compassionately, lovingly interested in connecting with us, and some of them are just not that interested. So we want to spend our time speaking to, communicating with spirits, ancestral spirits who are compassionate and benevolent. You could essentially say who connect with us out of love. Now, part of connecting with ancestral spirits is for us to gain insight into our history and what we come from, this collective unconscious experience. And this is all, as I'm speaking now, this is all what the spirits are telling me directly. And they show me, this is really interesting, they show me an old man, and I understand him to be a woodcutter. And it's very interesting because the image that they're giving me is like on the cover of one of the Led Zeppelin albums. It's an old man bent over carrying a huge load of wood, maybe firewood or for building a house or a roof. And the spirits tell me that this is about having a general appreciation of how easy our lives are today compared to what most of our ancestors had to experience. So in this instance, they're showing me manual labor. And this man, I think he's only about 45 years old, but in those days, and I think this was happening around the 1700s, that was old. Lifespans were shorter, and you certainly didn't get to retire in comfort when you got to be old. For the most part, you still had to work, maybe manual labor, as an old person. So the point being, we should really appreciate just how fortunate we are that we have relative ease. And the big teaching here is to not take things, the good things in our lives, for granted. They also show me a scene which is much further back in time. It could be a Neolithic cave-like scene. And there's a little group of people, and there's a pile of tinder, little pieces of wood, and one person is striking some stones together to make sparks to make a fire, a cooking fire, because I see somebody else who's got a rabbit stretched out on a wooden frame that's going to be cooked. And this ancestor, so this is my ancestor, I'm being shown, is striking the stones together. And it's not a struggle, he's very skilled, but of course it's not as easy as me just going to my gas stove and turning a dial and heating up the skillet. And again, the spirits are giving me a lesson in saying that we're so used to relative luxury and ease in our current lifestyles. And the problem is we take it for granted. There's nothing wrong with having, call it luxury and ease. That's where we've evolved to in 2024. But the issue is taking it for granted. And they say, remember how you had a power outage a couple of weeks ago and no electricity for 48 hours, and how much of a bother that was to you. Then they show me another ancestor, and this is also going back a long way, but not as far back as the cave image. And this ancestor is some kind of scholar, because he's sitting with a manuscript or a book, but it's a candlelit scene, so it's way pre-electricity. And so there's also not the benefit of modern luxury, but the main point here is to understand that our ancestors, I think this is why he's shown to me as a scholar, they had great wisdom. They were wise people. And this ancestor was a scholar. And in those days, people who had knowledge knew about everything. They weren't specialized like we are nowadays. They knew about philosophy. They knew about science. They were well-versed in a range of things. Unlike today, where we are not all-rounders. And the message here that the spirits are giving me is actually not just that there is this ancestral wisdom to draw on, because that's part of it, absolutely, but that we should be generous with the information that we have. We might not be all-rounders, but we have knowledge, maybe specific, specialized knowledge. Help our families and our communities, and we should be willing and generous to share and give our information. It's not secret information. We should be teachers, and we should take advantage of teachers. And the other thing which they just say as a final thing is that our ancestors are role models. Their compassion, their love is what can teach us how we should behave today. There is ancestral guidance that we should and can take advantage of. And with that, the drums change and I return, going back down to the lower world, thanking the spirits for this wonderful and important experience. Thank you. You've been listening to the Chakra Show, and when we return, Vivian will bring messages from crystals.
If you like this program and you want to hear more of the Chakras, then tune in to their YouTube channel called Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. There's demos, meditations, interviews, and more on their YouTube channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. So relax, enjoy, and learn unique material as you watch the Chakras in action. Visit today on YouTube and remember that channel, Crystal Surgery and Crystal Healing Techniques. Do it now.
You have too little time to shop. So, try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
There's a respected metaphysical academy that's been around for over 22 years and it's still going strong. If you're interested in energy healing, crystal healing, developing intuition, or shamanism, then the Four Winds Academy for the Healing Arts and Sciences is exactly right for you. With in-person and online classes and full certifications, their experienced teachers work with you and take an interest in your progress. To find out more, visit 4windsacademy.org. That's the number 4windsacademy.org. Or call 513-891-8062.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
Imagine taking a journey with metaphysical teachers and spirit guides right in your own home. Well, now you can with Vivian Chopra's book, Everyday Magic. Everyday Magic helps you understand your life from new perspectives as it guides you to feel motivated to take control of your life and your future. Get Everyday Magic today at Amazon.com, or for more information, visit Chakra.com or call 513-891-8062. That's 513-891-8062. CrystalHealingTechniques.com is the place to learn crystal healing, and there's even some free courses and certification. CrystalHealingTechniques.com has courses from beginner to advanced, and you'll learn from a master crystal healer. Explore new and unique material as you learn from the amazing award-winning textbook, The Complete Guide to Crystal Surgery. So discover the world of healing through crystals at CrystalHealingTechniques.com. Visit CrystalHealingTechniques.com or call 513-891-8062.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hello, and welcome back to the Chakra Show, where Vivian Neal explores this big adventure called life. This is the part of the show where I talk to and about stones, and our stone guest today is sujalite. Sujalite is the like me stone. Why? Because it also comes from South Africa. But I don't think that's the only reason it is like me. It seems to have another aspect that I can identify with. As a teacher and energy healing practitioner, my personal mission is to help my students and clients to develop their potential. As I hold Suja Light in my hand and look at it, I realize that this is the mission of Suja Light too. In Melody's book, I read that Suja Light opens the chakras progressively from the crown down to the root. This is unusual, as the reverse order from root to crown is what is usually advised. When I ask Suja Light why, Suja Light explained this to me. When you go on a journey, you find out a lot about your destination, the weather, the temperatures, the terrain, what you're going to do, so that you know what to expect and how to prepare. You especially need to know what kind of clothes and shoes you need to pack, as well as whether you need vaccinations and other specific medications. Your knowledge of your personal destination in the journey of life is stored inside your crown and third eye chakras, partially in the unconscious functions and partially in the spiritual functions. This is all what Suja Light told me. Consequently, in order to find out more about your destination, you have to look in the crown chakra. Bringing that information into your conscious thinking is not the point here. Correctly grooming each chakra to support your journey to the destination is the point. This is the same as building a foundation and then building each layer on top of it. It may seem upside down until you realize that in the chakra system, there isn't really an up or a down. As the Suja Light progresses from chakra to chakra, its job is to draw out the impurities or negative dynamics that could obstruct your personal journey. This could be something like a bad attitude based on a previous traumatic experience, for example. By helping you to release that bad attitude, it can feel like Suja Light is healing the trauma itself. This causes one to get confused and think that Suja Light heals trauma. But that is not an accurate understanding. For example, a trauma that assists one in reaching one's destination because it lit a fire under you would not be targeted by Suja Light. This is very interesting to me and very empowering. I can see new ways to integrate Suja Light into crystal healing sessions. In crystal surgery, we use Suja Light to remove a depression imprint on the brain. To be clear, this is not a way of working with depression in general, but with a very particular form of depression, depression that is a learned behavior pattern. It is surprising in how many ways we have been imprinted with behaviors by our parents, siblings, and other role models. This is a natural part of socialization, and here, just as it is true elsewhere, the good thing and the bad thing are the same thing. It's all about imprinting. When we are imprinted with good, successful behaviors, we are supported by this dynamic. But when we have been unfortunate enough to be imprinted with undermining behaviors, we need to find out how to delete the imprint. Fortunately, Suja Light is able to erase and clear such a depression imprint, and now I understand how this is integral to the general capacities of Suja Light. One particular sentence in Melody's book jumped out at me. Suja Light can be used to protect against the harsh realities of this world and to enable one to willingly accept being here and living now. I want to respond to that. Yes, of course. Once we have an inner sense of why we are here and what we are meant to do, we can accept being here. Pretty profound. Of course, once I conversed with Suja Light, I immediately began using Suja Light more in my sessions. Firstly, I infused Suja Light into each chakra per Suja Light's recommendation, beginning at the crown and working my way down to the root. The effect was surprising because it rendered a paradoxical feeling of profound lightness. Secondly, I finally found out how to use a very impressive Suja-like wand that I got at the very first Big Gem show that I attended about 25 years ago. That was the first time I went to one of the big shows. The two big shows are Denver and Tucson, and this was the first time I went to Denver. I paired up the Sujalite wand with my smoky quartz celestial to align the pranic tube. The pranic tube is the etheric structure that connects the chakras, the equivalent of the spine in the physical body. It worked like a charm. Usually I use kunzite, so I repeated the procedure using kunzite together with the sujalite. All in all, the sujalite added depth and expansiveness. It was definitely clearing the way because the kinesthetic sensation was one of an unhindered, easy, smooth, and clear passage together with this expansiveness. It was great. When I asked Sujalite what message it wants me to share with you, it said, "My job is to help you understand yourself in a new way, see yourself in a new light, gain a new perspective regarding your essence. You aren't meant to understand yourself in an intellectual way. You are meant to feel yourself in a new way. And the pinnacle feeling we are after is, yes, this feels like me." Then when I asked Sujalite, "What are the best ways to accomplish this very desirable effect?" Sujalite said, "Sleep with me. Put me under the pillow or hold me in your hand as you fall asleep. I work in the realm of the unconscious mind. And by sleeping with me, you give me direct access to your unconscious." So then, I decided to take home one of my favorite pieces of sujalite and began putting it under my pillow at night. Based on my experience, I can say this. If you are wrestling with an issue and having trouble finding the way forward, try putting a piece of sujalite under your pillow and see what happens. My experience was that I found a decisive solution to the issue at hand. Thank you, Sujalite. That's absolutely fantastic. Everyone, you have been listening to The Chakra Show, where Vivian and Neil explore this big adventure called life. Please join us again next month.